1 Samuel 17, and this is a well-known passage. This is not an obscure passage in the Bible, and yet the thought I want to present to you maybe is one that I don't know that we always think about when we look at this passage. It's really easy to look at 1 Samuel 17 and get wrapped up in the courage of David. And David is courageous, or the bravery of David. And David is brave. But I think what we tend to do, for example, young Liddy just got up and played beautifully for the offertory, and we go, oh, what great talent. You know what that really is? Hours of preparation. You're just seeing a five-minute window into someone's hours of preparing for that moment. Now, she knew that moment was coming, so she knew to prepare for it. David did not know that this moment was coming in his life. And you don't know every moment that's coming in your life, but you ought to be preparing. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. Verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening. This is Goliath, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain. They must be from Green Bay, Wisconsin. There you go. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Let me just say this, Christian. A lot of the fighting that's going to go on in your life is not going to be on top of a mountain. You come to church and you may feel like you're on top of a mountain, and you ought to feel that way. You ought to leave church like kind of, and I don't mean this in a worldly sense, but you ought to leave with a little bit of a high. If it doesn't do that for you at all, ever, then check your church or check your heart. One of those is wrong. All right, what I'm getting is it's okay to have a sense of high, but know that most of your battles don't take place on top of a mountain. They take place in a valley, probably Monday morning. All right, now that's where they're at. They're in a valley, and they're all spreading out. And every day for 40 days, this giant is coming and presenting himself to those people. Look at verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse, that's his dad, had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And yet they weren't doing anything. They're just kind of looking at each other like, who's going to take the first move? And the Philistines are having a good time with it because they got this giant of a man that is 9 feet tall and or every bit, I think his staff is 9 feet tall. I can't remember which it is. We'll see in a moment. But he's a giant of a man. And all he's doing is going on mocking the people of Israel every day. Hey, where's your God? You guys fight for the God of Israel? Where's he at? And everyone's just kind of looking at him. And no one's doing anything. Look at verse number 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. What does that show you about David? He left the sheep in verse 20 with a keeper. He left the carriage in the hand of a keeper. You say, what is it? He's responsible. There's some prep. Now look, this doesn't excite people. When you talk about, you know, he went there and he threw that stone and that stone sunk in the giant's head and he died. Like, oh, I never knew the story. Sorry, spoiler alert, he dies. All right, David wins and then he takes the dude's own sword and chops his head off with it. That's manly stuff right there. I mean, that's a good Hollywood movie right there. And David does all that. We look at it, yeah. But that's not what got David there. What got David to that moment was he could listen to his dad. But how fun is that? You know what's exciting? I can kill a giant. You're not killing anything you should be killing in your life unless you learn some of these things along the way. Look at what happens here in verse number 8. After David shows up, his older brother has something to say about it. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. That's David speaking to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Nothing like family to humble you, huh? For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, doesn't even argue with his brother. I like this. What have I done? Is there not a cause? Good question. And look what happens here in verse number 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able. Saul's a picture of the flesh. You know what the flesh is always going to say? You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're not worthy. You can't make it. There's no way. How are you going to do it? Just constantly going to belittle everything God wants you to stand for and stand against in the Christian life. Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, yeah, well, guess what? I haven't killed any giants, but I've killed some lions and some bears along the way. No tigers, but lions and bears. Okay. Look at verse 35. And I went out after him, talking about lion and a bear, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, talking about a sheep he delivered. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard. What kind of kid catches a lion by the beard? I'll tell you what kind of kid does. A kid that spends more time outside than he does playing video games. You know, if you're used to this all the time, Dad, there's a lion. Why isn't this doing anything? It's not going to do anything. You're in the real world now, son, you know. Verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You know what God was doing for years in David's life? I'm trying to get you to see this, preparing him. Now, I need you to get this. These moments don't define you, but they do magnify your character. You know what actually defined you? Not that moment. Yeah. It was the years leading up to that moment. Yeah. That's what defined you. I like verse 38. Saul tries to help out. This is kind of cute. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And that does not mean USPS mail, okay, guys? This is like a metal graven thing, like it's a graven work type of thing, a chain armor type thing. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. David goes, hey, that's just, I know it works for you, Saul. But like, can you imagine? David's a teenager, right? And he's got a grown man's armor on him. He's like, well, any of you guys remember the 90s fat man in a little coat, you know? It's kind of the opposite of that, you know? He's kind of got this big, and he's just going, I don't think I can do this. And you say, why? Because that's not how God had prepared David. God had used some other things in David's life to prepare him for that moment. You know how you know that? Look at the very next verse, and we'll go to prayer. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. You say, what is that? That's a shepherd's life. And put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I want to talk about preparing for your opportunity, Christian. Because whether you like it or not, the giants are coming. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Tim, from whom does not spring eternal wisdom. If you would open us up in a word of prayer.
Lord, thank you for this chance to be in church, Lord. Thank you for some of the things we've already heard. Lord, the Spirit in your Father, and I just ask you, Lord, that you would just clear out any distractions, anything that may be getting in the way of your work this morning, God. And that we don't have to control what takes place in a church service or how you're going to minister, Lord. We just ask you to have free course and that you do what your will is and that you minister as you see fit. And you just put your hand on the pastor this morning to preach your book and to preach the message you laid on his heart. And I just ask you, God, that everything will be something that you look at and you're pleased with it.
Amen. Be seated. Let me say this for those that are not as familiar, and it's kind of funny to me, by the way, is Brother Steon's got his Alaska jacket on right now, and I'm getting up here going, I got to take this thing off, man. I'm burning up. You know, if you look at this story, you may look at this and go, man, David's been around forever. He's not. Matter of fact, David's story starts in the chapter right before this. And you may look at this and go, this is David getting ready to become the king. No, it's not about that at all. This is a story where David's will aligns with God's, and that's why this story is in your Bible. It's not about David coming out and getting ready to be king. He doesn't become king for decades after this. So you need to ask yourself, why does God put this story in the Bible? There's so many things here you got to ask. Like, why if David doesn't become king for decades after this, why is this so instrumental? I'll tell you why it's instrumental, because even though he just was mentioned for the first time in the last chapter, and up to that point, it's all about Samuel as a young man. Then after that, it's about King Saul and Saul's reign, Saul being a picture of the flesh. And now David has been anointed in chapter 16. But even though he was anointed in chapter 16, he's not ready to get on the throne. Guys, I was saved when I was 12, 13 years old. Do you realize I was not ready to preach when I was that age? You understand that? There's a process that God wants to bring you through for certain things to align in your life. We might look at this story and go, man, David was just lucky. He's in the right place at the right time. I'm going to tell you right now, as a Christian, I don't really put a whole lot of stock in luck. We might say good luck and things like that, but let's be honest. The Bible talks about the idea of luck, and here's how it lays it out. Ye are as all men too superstitious, Acts 17. Listen, when something bad happens, oh, just bad luck. When something good happens, oh, it's my good luck. Listen, as a believer, you are supposed to live your life with intention and purpose. You did not evolve into existence. Imagine a preacher, Brother Richie told me that he went to some church, and Brother Richie kind of goes in, he kind of scopes it out, and he's like, oh, they don't have the right Bible. Let me talk to the leadership here, and let me tell you what, and boom, and he's got this conversation going, and can you believe that one of the leaders in that church said, you can't take the book of Genesis literal. It's got, and then the guy tells him there's contradictions in it, and then when he laid out what they were, I'm like, this guy can't read fifth grade English. This is not a contradiction. This is just a matter of this chapter is chronological. This one's more a matter of detail, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just thinking to myself, guys, we're in the last days. When you got leadership and preachers telling people not to believe the word of God. All right? Now listen, when it comes to David's situation, it was not a matter of him just being lucky. It was a matter of him being, yes, in the right place at the right time. But what led to that? We look at things, and I think the problem that we have is our generation, our culture, is all about the ESPN highlight reel. You know, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, the guy catches the ball with his fingertips, you know, and reels it in, you know. Or the guy that David Tyree that caught with the Super Bowl catch years ago. This is old news for some of you. I'm old, whatever. And he catches the ball, and he kind of catches it with his helmet barely like this, and it's like one of the most momentous events in NFL history, and some of you already forgot about it, so whatever. But then, this guy was just lucky in the right place. You know what that is? That's years of jumping up and catching a ball. That's years of sprints, and that's years of jump drills. But you see that one moment, that becomes a highlight reel. You know what's not the highlight reel? Every time the guy went to the gym instead of partying with his friends. That's not on the highlight reel. You know what's on the highlight reel? Check this catch out. And you know what? If we were doing a highlight reel in the Bible, we go, look, David killed this giant. Yeah, but it wasn't luck. It wasn't like he just happened to be there. He was obeying his father's orders. And by obeying his father's will, he's in the right place at, I don't know, kind of sounds like us as Christians obeying our father's will. Doesn't it sound like that to you? And let me just say, Christian, by being in God's will, it does not negate that you're going to have some giants come your way. Some of you go, well, if I'm just serving God, I shouldn't have these problems. Where's that in the Bible? When you're serving the Lord, and listen, as a born again, if you're here and you're lost, you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you might think, well, why am I going to get saved? Here's why. I'm not going to hell when I die. And I've got God as my Father. I've got heaven as my home. I have Jesus as my Savior, as my best friend, as my high priest. That's why you ought to get saved. But getting saved does not rid you of all your problems. As a matter of fact, as you're following your father's will, sometimes it puts you right in line with where a giant might show up in your life. Anybody here have any giants in their lives? Some things you just say, man, I don't know how to beat that. Let me just say right now, if you wait until the giant shows up to figure out how to beat it, you're already late. You know what God wants to do in your life every single day? He wants to prepare you for some things. And it's not about luck. You know what it's about? Purpose and intention. You know what drives me crazy? Businesses spend hours and hours and hours communicating about, man, well, how are we going to do this? And how are we going to move this forward? And listen, it's all right. I'm not saying it's bad. But they invest all this money and all these resources in how to make the business better. Why? So we can be more profitable. Why? So we can grow. Why? So we can get more money. Why? So we can grow. Why? It's just like when you were first driving. Remember that? When you were a teenager? Like, man, I need to get a job. Why? So I can drive a car. Why do you drive a car? So I can get a job. Remember that? All right, I remember that, man. I gotta get a car. Why? So I can get a job. Why? So I can get a job so I can pay for the car, right? And like that's what businesses are all about. And yet when it comes to the Christian life, it's just kind of like, whatever. I'll grow when it happens. I'll just kind of grow. Hey, do you have any intention, any desire? Is that about luck? How much time and mind power and heart are you willing to put into the Christian life? That's what you're going to get out of it. You know what God did in David's life? Through the moments and minutes and hours of his life that nobody saw, he was preparing David for this. David didn't know it. Nobody else knew it. I dare say most people even now don't recognize all that God did in preparing him, which is why I want you to be prepared for your opportunity. Because I'm telling you right now, the giants are coming. Some of you have dealt with giants of depression. You don't know when it's going to come again. Maybe you whipped it. Praise the Lord. You know what the meantime is? Prepare. You know some of you deal with? The giant of your past. And that thing just stares at you and you go, well, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. And every once in a while it pops up in a way where you just don't even know. It's just like, how do I fight this thing? How do I get it? I want to get past this. And there it is. You know what it is for some of you? Some of you, it's the giant of your lust. And you give into your flesh and you give it. And every time you give in, it gets stronger and it shows up meaner and it shows up nastier. The flesh is never satisfied. The flesh is always going to want more. You might convince yourself just this one time. It's never that way. Those giants are going to show up in your life. The question is, will you be ready? Ready or not, here they come. Remember when you were a kid? Ready or not, here we come. Remember that? Hide and seek? Well, let me tell you something. That's how things show up in your life. And they don't always give you an invitation. They don't always tell you, hey, listen, I'm going to show up. I'm going to cause problems in your life. They just show up. You ever had those people that just kind of show up in your life like, why are you here? I remember when I was in high school, I had a friend from youth group, and he always came over right around dinner time. And after a while, we realized that was not an accident. That was intentional. You know what Paul says? Paul says that you've known fully my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. In other words, it wasn't about luck for Paul. Good luck, bad luck. And I know some of you are like, oh, I don't think that way. Yeah, sometimes you do. Oh, this thing just kind of happened. This thing just kind of happened. They're not just random. Oftentimes, God is allowing these things to come your way after trying to get your attention to get you ready for them. It's on you to listen. Yeah. It's on you to allow God to prepare you. You know what the Bible says about David? Look back at chapter 16. Look back at chapter 16. Look at verse number 18. When Saul has a bad spirit. This is before David is ever the king. This is before David ever takes the throne. He's anointed already, but he's not on the throne. And let me tell you something, child of God, you've been anointed. The moment you got saved, you were anointed. You got the Spirit of God, amen? But you haven't received your reward yet. That's on the other side. In the meantime, you've got giants to face. And listen, before David is ever on the throne, David is put in a situation where he's called to try to bring some relief and some help to Saul. You say, what's Saul a picture of? He's someone that's afflicted by the flesh, by the wrong spirit. So David comes and he's there to play the harp. Look what it says about David in verse number 18 of chapter 16. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. And a man of war, he hasn't even fought yet, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Let me just tell you something. You don't always feel like it in these hours and minutes and days and weeks and months and maybe years of your life when you feel like, man, I just wish there was something more important I could be doing. I wish I could be fighting a giant. Listen, your giants are coming. Don't go looking for lions, by the way. You got one that's always kind of walking around looking for someone to devour. You don't have to go looking for one. David didn't have to go look. He just was doing what his father told him to do, and the lions came, and the giants will come. And listen, as a child of God, understand, just like David, you're going to be in a place where you are for maybe years of your life preparing, and you don't even see that's what's going on. And you may look and go, what? This doesn't matter. Whether I get up or not, read my Bible or not, it doesn't matter. It does to God. It does to God. The Bible says the Lord was with him. You know what that is a sign of? Even in those moments where it doesn't seem like anybody else is there or it matters, what's going on in your life, it does matter. You know why? God's with you.
Amen. Yep.
God's with you. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Benjamin Franklin. Abraham Lincoln said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll spend the first four sharpening the axe. To that I say, just give me a chainsaw. Amen. Thomas Edison said, unfortunately, there seems to be far more opportunity out there than ability. We should remember that good fortune often happens when opportunity meets preparation. And I understand we don't believe in luck. We believe that things are on purpose. You did not just evolve. That preacher that Brother Richie was talking to said, well, I believe in evolution. I'm a Christian. And you can't take Genesis literally. Listen, let me tell you right now, you're not the result of some random accident in the cosmos. You were shaping in your mother's womb, and you were designed for a purpose on this planet. And whether you feel like your life is purpose or purposeless, it is purpose in the sight of God. And you're not just a random thing that just happened. That's not how your life works. Your life is a result of a series of events of small moment-by-moment decisions and choices that you make. You go, oh man, this thing happened. I can't believe this happened in that person's life. That didn't just happen overnight. Right. That was a long series of events. You just didn't get to see the series of events. That moment came and you saw the explosion. You didn't see what led to that. But you know who did? God. Because the Lord is with him. You know what nobody else saw? Saul is slaying his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Saul is slaying, and they have a party, and they're dancing. They're all excited. And you know what David's thinking about? David's just thinking, man, is that why I was out there in the desert by myself for years? Fighting lions and bears? When I felt like my brothers were the big shots? I mean, guys, if you look at chapter 16, do you realize what happens? The preacher is going, surely this is the anointed of God. You know who he pointed to? Eliab, the jerk. In chapter 17, that's like, huh, I know why you showed up, little punk. You just came to just check everything out, huh? That's who the preacher thought was the anointed of God. You know why? Because he's looking on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But David, you know what David? David is the last one to get picked. You guys remember dodgeball when you were a kid? Do they even play dodgeball in schools anymore? I don't know. When I was a kid, dodgeball was a blast. It was great if you could move. If you couldn't move, some of you are still like tears right now. I can tell. You like get on tense and all, you know, nervous about your past. And yeah, elementary school was rough for some of you. I'm sorry. But maybe you weren't as fast as some other kids. And you know what you got picked? You got picked last. Yeah. This is where we all go, aw. And that's why you're such a mean person today, isn't it? Yeah, you know, like you know, that's. I look at guys like Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm like, somewhere, if that guy turns out to be the Antichrist, you know what's going to happen? Somewhere, there was a jock that picked on Mark Zuckerberg when he was a kid. And that jock's going to be responsible for the whole mess. But here's my point. Here's my point. You remember being picked last? Doesn't feel good. Imagine, like, you get called in, and you're David. And you like the prophet's there and the preacher's there, and he's like, all right, the Lord said you're the anointed one. And you're like, oh. And David gets anointed, right? Then he gets up, and his brother's like, just so you know, you're the last pick, boy. He didn't even want to pick you. You weren't the one he chose. And David carries that, but you know he remembers? Yeah, but God chose me. Amen. You know God chose you. To fight the giants that are coming in your life. Maybe the ones that are there right now. God chose you. And you may look around and go, well, I'm not Eliab, and I'm not as strong, and I'm not as trained, and I'm not as this. You know what? That's why the Lord's bringing you through some things right now to help you get ready. You know what the Bible says over in Timothy? It talks about in a great house. And in a great house, there are vessels of honor, and there's vessels of dishonor. And you know what it says about the vessels of honor? If a man therefore purge himself from these, the vessels of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Man, I'll tell you what. Friday night, we were in Colorado Springs. We were there all day. And, you know, I wanted to do something nice for my wife and get her some dresses at this store where I could have sold my kidney to buy a dress, you know, one of those places. And I got my wife a couple dresses. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, you know, like, baby, don't worry about it. You know, oh, that's supposed to be, you know, Mother's Day. You know, and And I'm like, no, I got this. And she's going to the register. I'm like, you know what? Why don't you go so you don't have to see the price tag? Oh, okay. Sure, honey. You know, now, if it's anything else, she's like, no, I want to be there for it. When it's me ringing up her dress, it's like, yeah, you go ahead and take care of that. I got these dresses, you know, I was feeling all excited about it, you know, and so we got this plan after we do this and this and this, we go see your mom, we're going to go to a restaurant, we're going to change there, and man, people thought we were moving in. We got bags coming in behind us, you know, and we're getting ready for church. And so she gets her dress, she's about to put it on, she goes, oh, no, they had kept a little anti-theft device on it. And so we didn't have enough time to drive back. And so that was the dress she wanted to wear. So then she goes, well, it's okay. I'll just put on another dress. Good thing I got more than one. So she puts on the other one. And then we're having lunch, dinner, whatever it was. And where's Nana? Nana, your little baby boy. Little baby boy, Ethan. Oh, boy, I love him so much. Nana's baby was grabbing something, and it was like a movie where, like, the hot sauce tipped just in the right place, and then it went just these little drops, and it's just like she got shot, you know. And then it's just like, are you kidding me? The thing's on the dress first, and I changed it. I put this one on, and then it's like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? And desperate times call for desperate measures. So you know what she did? She put the other one on. Yeah, the one with the device on. Now, you know what I told her? I said, you're married to a Puerto Rican. Don't worry about it, you know? You know, and so she's sitting there. And if you don't like that, just get over it. It's funny. Get over it. It's funny. All right? And so you know what she does? She goes, I'm going to wear this dress. And I said, amen. I am for this. Amen. I spent a lot. So, yeah, good. Wear it. And so you know what she does? She gets on YouTube. This is how determined my wife is. Never go to battle with her. She goes on YouTube and looks up how to use a plastic bag. I don't know if I should teach this to young people. If you're a thief, this is not for you, all right? If you bought an item and they forgot to take the thing off, this is for you. And this is how you get a plastic bag, and you wrap that plastic bag around this way and then loop it this way, and then you work it around this way, and then you tighten it around this way, and then you take the bottom part, the lever part of that device, and you twist it around, and when you hear a click, now you know it's doing something. And eventually we're sitting there, and sure enough, this is all that it took. And sure enough, pop, it came off. She goes, ah! Now. This is what a woman will do to get dressed for church. Okay? This is how much preparation she's willing to invest in that. Can I ask you a question? How much are you willing to invest in preparing for the Christian life? Or do you just go, oh, it's too hard? I tried. Bro, I mean, honestly, you know what I want to do? Drive back to the store and be like, I want my money back. And you're going to take that thing off. Like, that's what I felt like, you know, but it's like we didn't have time for that. Yeah, I mean, that's me, shortcut. Can I just get, men, let's just get it done and do it fast. But here she is, she's going, okay, I think it clicked. Do I go back this way? I'm going, I'm sweating at this point. I'm like, oh, man, my whole entire marriage rides on this thing coming off. And I'm saying, this is crazy. Like, why are we doing this? Like, I'm looking at YouTube, and I'm like, just, you can't learn anything on YouTube, and then pop, it comes up, I'm like, I stand corrected. I mean, I've known people that have built engines from YouTube, Brother Steon. I couldn't even do what she was doing from the YouTube thing. She's like, which way to wrap it? I'm like, I don't know, the guy's like this, rewind it. I'm like, ugh, going back. I mean, this is nerve-wracking, you know, and finally the thing comes up. What was that? That was trying to get prepared physically for an event. I'm not going to stop because it didn't work the first time. And I'm not even going to sit there and try to figure out whose fault it is. It doesn't matter at this point. The problem's there. The giant's there. What do I do? Do you want to be prepared on every good work and meet for the master's use? I do. See, you're not saved by good works, but you are created unto them. God wants to extract some good things out of your life. You know what that's called? Preparation. Do you know what Paul says? I am now ready to be offered. You know what that means? He wasn't always ready. He got ready. You know how you get ready? He said, I'm going to just live my life, keep looking for Jesus, keep looking for Jesus, keep looking for Jesus. I'm looking for him to come back. I can't wait to see his face. So every decision I make right now is in light of that. He's preparing, preparing, preparing. Why? Because eventually your last day comes. Eventually. How about this? Absalom prepared chariots. There's all kinds of ways you can prepare for good and for bad. Absalom didn't just all of a sudden one day wake up and the kingdom was his and oops, I accidentally stole the kingdom. There was preparation in his heart years before he stole it from dad. How about Noah? Dude, I'm just telling you right now, I don't know if I could take 10 years. I mean, I don't have patience for building projects. I don't have patience for car stuff. Like, I look at guys like Brother Moore and Brother Steon, and they build things and they fix things. You know, I'm like, how much will it cost me? Just tell me. Or I write you a check, man. Just do it. And I don't, the patience that goes in that. Noah building it in an ark. It mentions him being 500 years old when his dad dies. And then it talks about the Lord showing up in chapter 6, at least 100 years of Noah building this boat and preaching while he builds. You say, what is that? 100 plus years of preparation for one event. And nobody understands. Matter of fact, they all think he's crazy.
Yep.
No one was laughing when the door was closed. You know what that was? Some of you go through season, you're in a season of life where it just feels like, what's going on? You know, it is preparation.
Yeah.
Some of you, I mean, even think about our church. Like, okay, we're going to get a building. Are we not? Oh, we're going to get a building. No, we're not. I mean, fine, this looks really good. But, oh, someone else bought it already. Oh, but and it's just like, you say, what is it? Preparing. And you know where a lot of Christians fall off? In the stage of preparation. It's like, oh, but what, I got, and the Lord's like, just trust me. Every day that goes by, you feel like it's a day that's wasted. I'm not doing something that's that important. I'm not on the throne. How do I get to the throne? You'll get there.
Amen.
That's already sealed.
Amen.
Christian, are you with me?
Amen.
It's already sealed. You know what matters right now is how you handle the preparation to get you there.
Yep.
I know I've said it before. Are you saved this morning?
Then
you're going, you have got a reservation on Heavenly Airlines, all right? But some of you are going to go first class. Look, I'm going to South Africa, and I was looking at like, oh, what would it cost to go first? Oh, I need to mortgage my house. That's okay. Like, I don't know that I want to spend thousands of dollars so that I can stroll through and be like, hey, I'm in first class. And enjoy that little bit. It's not worth it to me. It just isn't. But can I say this, Christian? When it comes to the Christian life, it ought to be worth it to pay the price.
Yep.
You're all going. If you're saved, you're going. But some of you are going to get there first class. And some of you are just going to get there by coach. And some of you are going to get there by hanging on the wing. But thank God you're going to get there, amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Your chance is going to come to take something that's not yours, Absalom. How are you preparing? So you handle it the right way, not like him. There's going to come the opportunity to save people around you, Noah. How are you preparing? How do you think Jesus Christ faces the cross the right way? You know what we look at the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We look at that and we go, guys, he doesn't face the cross the right way if he doesn't go to Gethsemane first. You look at Elijah standing up there, the prophets of Baal. He's the only one all by himself. Let me tell you something. You will never stand alone on the hill if you're not willing to sit alone by a drying brook. He sat there where that brook was drying up. You say, what was that? That was preparing him for something. And you may not see everything God's doing in your life. These moment-by-moment things, they just don't seem like a big deal. Wednesday night rolls around. Well, you know, I got stuff to do and I'm tired. I've talked to some of you. I even talked, someone came up to me recently and said, man, I just didn't, really didn't want to be here. I'm so glad I came. You say, what is it? Oh, it's something small. Oh, that's no big deal. Not to you, maybe. To God, it's a huge deal.
Amen.
You say, what is it? Just preparing my heart to move in the right direction. These missionaries come through, you go, oh, man, how are they? They don't start there. They start where you're at. And they handle the opportunities day by day. They allow God to prepare them for what's coming next. Let me say this, preparation has to do with building your character. Look, if you would, again, at verse number 20, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Can I say this? God cares more about your character than he does your achievements. You know one of the problems with fundamentalism? And so how many souls did you win? How many this did you do? How much money did you give? Yes, we should do what the Lord asks us to do. This is not about discounting obedience. But God is not so much worried about how many awards you have on your wall to show how good of a Christian you are. God cares more about your character than your achievements. God cares more about your character than your talents. You know what your character is? Your character is what you do when no one's watching. God cares about that. You look at verse number 20. You say, what do you see in verse number 20? David can get up early. Oh, I just can't get up early. No, no, you can. Now, I'm not saying if your schedule is a graveyard shift, do not run in a weird direction with this. I'm simply saying some of you have the opportunity to put some discipline in your life and you go, I can't. No, you don't want to. Because you don't see it, you don't believe it matters. You don't think that there's of any value of that to God. God cares about those little things. Like, will you or will you not get up early enough to talk with me? Or will you get up early enough to put aside the things you want? Will you grab your Bible or your phone first? Yeah, you know, those are little things. Yeah, they are, but it's all about your character. He woke up early. Look what he does. He leaves the sheep with the keeper. What is that? Responsibility. It's a character thing. Look at verse 22 again. He left the carriage in the hand of a keeper. That's why Peter says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and a virtue knowledge, and a knowledge temperance, temperance patience, so on and so forth. Why? Because God wants you to care about your character, because he does. You may go, it's not that big of a deal. These small little things, they matter to God. That's why he says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth unto his neighbor. Oh, it's just a little thing. No, it's not. Stop yourself when you're going to lie again.
Amen.
You know, I'm not a liar. I just lie. No, you're a liar when you allow that to come out of your mouth. See, what is that? Character. Character. I mean, look, small things. Now you may laugh about this. Do you have two legs and two arms? Sure you do. Most of you do, all right? All right, then you're at the grocery store, and you push your cart. Now, you ladies might get an exception from this. If there's a creepy-looking dude around, I totally understand. But generally speaking, you're at the grocery store, and you push your cart out to your cart, and then you just leave it there. Now, if you're a grown man, you do that, shame on you.
Amen.
Put the cart back where it goes, or at least put it in the rack. You go, oh, that's not a big deal.
Amen.
See, though, this is little things like that, and you go, that doesn't really matter. Yeah, but you're inconsiderate. Someone else is going to, well, they get paid to do that. I've seen old women grab carts because some young guy left his cart in the middle of the road. That's not right. You say, what is that? That's just you thinking it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Little things. And listen, David got up early. And he made sure everything was set in order. He didn't just go, oh, Dad, I can go to the battle. Yeah. Literally the opposite of what his brother charged him with. He followed his father's orders to the point of knowing, I got to get up early enough to make sure I do this and take care of this responsibility and that responsibility. Gentlemen, you are not going to have a great ministry if you don't have a good marriage. You're going to have a hard time.
Yep.
Some of you getting ready for ministry, you know what that shows you? First things first. If I'm so busy caring about everyone else's problems and I don't take care of my own kids' problems, I don't provide for them, I'm worse than infidel. You know what that is? Responsibility. You say, what is that? That's character in David's life. Everyone talks about, man, he took that. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. You may think I'm crazy. I'm not as impressed with someone taking an object of force and using force behind it and throwing it. You may go, well, oh, he was accurate. Yeah, that's great, but that's years of being out by himself, having to shoot stuff because there's no one else around to help him. That's God's preparation. You know what I'm more impressed with? A young man that gets up early and puts things where they need to be in order. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Billy Graham said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. But when character is lost, all is lost. John Wooten, famous college basketball coach, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Why? Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what merely what people think you are. He rose up early. He left the sheep with a keeper. Can I ask you a question? Can people count on you? The Bible says an unfaithful man's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Anybody here over the hill? I think over the hill is over 40. I can say that now. I is that, okay? All right? And so you get up in the morning and you go to take a step and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right? Or in the middle of the night, you ever been sleeping all of a sudden? Oh, oh! It's like you didn't even do anything. You're just lying there. That's the sign that death is approaching, my friend. And you're just like, what is going on? Listen, when you get up and you expect your feet to work and they don't work, that's a scary feeling. That's what the Bible says about an unfaithful man. Can the Lord count you to be where you're supposed to be? Or do you make excuses? Oh, I mean, and here's the thing. The excuses sound good to people. And we're not going to check up on it. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the Lord's like, oh, really? Oh, that's why you didn't. Oh, it's not how I remember that. You know what that is? That's you finding a reason to justify not being where God wants you to be. You know what David was concerned with? Fulfilling his father's will. You know what David said? You want me to take, you want me, be, you, do you know what David was that day? He was DoorDash. Read the passage. He was the guy bringing food to his brothers. He wasn't there. In David's mind, he wasn't there going, I'm going to go fight a giant. David's like, well, I'm just bringing food. That's what Dad told me to do. And if it's important to Dad, it should be important to me. Can I point out, David was kind of isolated. See, how do you know? Man, when you grab a staff and stones to fight a giant, you know what that shows you? You've been by yourself. You're not being influenced by a ton of people. You know why? You're just kind of confident in who God made you to be, and that's okay. You know what David was? He was isolated. You know what none of us want? To ever feel alone. Yeah. Not a good feeling. Unless you're like a social, I mean, I think most normal people want other people in their life. Amen. I know some of you are like, no, I'm good. Like, I need human connection. I need that. And even if you go, I don't like it with a lot of people, you still want that from certain people. Yeah. And to be in a place where God takes you and puts you by yourself. And what's out there? Sheep. Meh. Meh. Let me tell you something. After a couple weeks of that, you're starting to go, what is that, Jeremiah? You're talking with animals because you're lonely. And let me tell you, there are seasons of your Christian life where it just feels like, by myself. And no one can understand. And you know what the truth is? Sometimes no one can. Yep. Right. Amen. And you're just kind of there. And you're going, why would God have me? Think about this. Okay, before you're anointed king, whatever happens makes sense. It just is what it is. But after the preacher comes by and goes, you're God's. He wants you to reign. It's kind of like, okay, all right, when do I start? A couple decades from now. Right. And you just go back to your job. So I just go back to taking care of sheep. Yeah. You know what that is? That's lonely business. You don't believe it's lonely business? Talk to Moses. Yeah. Man, God takes him out of Egypt and he runs away. And then God shows up. He's like, Moses, Moses. Yes, Lord. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to have you rise up, and I'm going to have you go to Egypt. Wow. And then you're going to end up right back here with a million ingrates behind you. who are going to want to kill you every time you can't show food up for them. You know what that is? That's lonely. I mean, Moses has his staff. That's like his Wilson, man. He's talking to that thing. He's like, really? What do you think? Oh, that's a good idea. Jeremiah, did you hear that? Man, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a dad joke. Dad, I got you. Yeah. I mean, just by yourself for decades. He said, what was all that? Well, what's interesting about this, when God brings him, he literally brings him back to that same mountain where he showed up. And he brings him back to that mountain. And I'm sure in Moses' mind, he goes, wow, that's why I needed to be alone in the desert for all those years. So I could show other people how to survive. You see, it's not all about you.
That's right.
You look at that isolation and you go, I don't want to be alone. Nobody wants to be alone. Amen. But do you know what's interesting about the story of Joseph? They throw him in a pit and they sell him into slavery. You know what the Bible says about him? But the Lord was with him.
Yep.
And then he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's like, man, this guy, man, this Hebrew boy, man, this Hebrew young man, he's the bee's knees. This guy's a great worker. Why aren't you guys more like Joseph? I mean, that's probably what it was like. And he's just... Joseph is awesome. And then, you know the story, Potiphar's wife comes on to him and Joseph runs for his life. That's the way to handle that situation. You don't go, I'm going to stand against sin. No, you dummy, you run for your life. When lust and temptation, you don't stay around and try to figure it out, you run. And Joseph ran. You know Joseph ran? You know who ran with Joseph? Nobody. And when Joseph was arrested and thrown into prison, you know what it says about him? He's by himself. No brothers, no friends, no Potiphar, but it does say this, but the Lord was with him. And so what was all that time alone for when he rose to power? What was all that time of David being alone in the desert fighting off bears and lions for the moment he would meet that giant? What were the decades of Moses' life that are just a blip on the radar? We don't know anything about. Well, what about this, guys? The Savior of the world did a ministry in 3.5 years. What about the first 30? You know what he's doing? He's a carpenter. I'm general tool stuff. I'm guessing, is this right? I don't even know. Can you give me a thumbs up? He's just staring at it. Thank you. I'm drowning. He's like, yep, keep drowning. You're good. Christian, can I ask you a question? Do you feel lonely sometimes? Good. You feel lonely on the job site? Good. You feel lonely at family gatherings sometimes? They start talking about certain things. They start breaking out certain things. And you're kind of like, well, I got to kind of... I feel alone. And some of you, God help you if you live online all the time. You see everyone having their best life. And you're just like, I don't have that. And every girl that's, 20 years old and not married yet, is like, I'm going to die an old maid. Because I haven't found the one. Let me tell you something. The one might be more of a Goliath than you realize. Take your time. You know what you're thinking about? And let me just tell you, God's like, hey, how about we just work on us? Your time's coming. Amen. Your time to reign is coming. It's not here. You know what this is about? Preparation. Amen. You know, I've learned in 20-some years of ministry, I've learned this. I don't know everything. And you know what I do? You know what I've realized as well? My care. You know what you think? Oh, this is who I am. You don't even know who you are. Amen. God puts you through things, and you're like, oh, that's who I am.
Right.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Don't leave me out to dry, folks. I know I'm not alone in this. There are times you're like, I know exactly how I'd handle X, Y. You watch someone else go through it. You go, oh, here's what I would do. Let me break down the play-by-play. And then it comes knocking on your door, and you're like, I got this. And then afterwards, you're like, I didn't have this.
Amen.
You see, what is it? Preparation. Look at chapter 17, verse 38. Can I just give you this, Christian? Don't try to be something that you're not. God made you. back in the 70s, no, listen, some of you know who these names are, some of you have no idea, that's fine. Back in the 70s, there were thousands of preachers that would go when they were preaching, trying to imitate Jack Hiles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they just, I want to emulate that. Nothing wrong with following a man as he's following Christ. Don't wig out on me, all right? But it'd be a far stretch. You know, my the guy taught me the Bible was into German march music. Imagine a Puerto Rican, you know, German march music. Like, just it doesn't work for me, you know? You say, why? Because God didn't make me that. Who did God make you to be? You know, some of you don't like you. That's the problem. Now, you shouldn't love yourself. You know what your problem is? You're not comfortable in your own skin. You don't like who God made you. You despise it. You know what God says? But I made you. I'm not talking about your sin. I'm not talking about the stuff that needs to go out of here. I'm talking about your experiences. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose what family you were born into. You realize, yeah, that was not an accident. And you look at these things in your life and you go, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not him. You don't need to be someone else. You need to be okay with being who God made you to be. If we're all the same person, it gets, first off, we're all going to die because we're all going to kill each other. You know, opposites attract, all right? That's how God puts the body of Christ together. Don't worry about being exactly like someone else. You know what happens? Look at the verse 38 and 39. Saul goes, here's my armor. And you know what that armor is? It's man-made. And Saul does this because this is what Saul thinks David needs in his life. By the way, when someone gets saved, don't try to give them everything you know at one time. They don't need that. Amen. They need to grow on their own and walk with God. They need to figure out who God made them to be. And you know what happens? David gets all this armor on. He's like, man, it just doesn't feel right. Why? Because that's not how it works for him. God didn't make me this way. This isn't for me. You know what David does? He picks 5 smooth stones. After which time, Saul tries to put it on him and he's like, are you sure about this, David? Yeah, I can move a little bit better just without all that stuff on. And after that, he just gets down quietly. And he gets a staff. I guarantee you someone said, hey, David, you're not here to deal the sheep. You're not here to shepherd any sheep. You're here to fight. And David goes, I know. But this is who God made me to be. I'm not talking about being a rebel and doing your own thing and, yeah, I don't care what anyone says. No, no. David already illustrated that's not who he is. But in allowing God to do in David's life what he had done for, David did not walk around in the wilderness with all this armor on. You know, when the bear came, oh, you know, go bear, you know, wrestling a grizzly. That's not what David did. You know what David did? David did what he had at his disposal. That's what he used. He became accustomed to what was around him, what God had put in his life. At the time, it didn't make sense. While he had these battles with these lions, can you imagine sitting around and all the other bears going, I never had that problem with bears and lions. Man, you got some bad luck, bro. And David's like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a sticker on me that says, come attack me. I don't know why this is happening, but they keep showing up. And when he faces off with that giant, he gets it. You know what God was doing? He was shaping David to become something. Can I point this out, Christian? He grabs the staff, he grabs that shepherd's bag, and he grabs those 5 smooth stones. Let me ask you, let me just throw it out like this. Whatever it is you grab in your everyday life during problems and strife and pressure, that's what you're going to lean on in hard moments. You know what David did? David did not have to think a lot about this. He just did what he had been doing. You know what I'm trying to get you to understand? Your habits, not your past, are the difference maker. Yeah. Some of you go, well, I went through this, and I went through this, and I went through this, and I went through this. Yeah, but how did you respond to all those things? Did you automatically complain? Did you automatically become a victim? Did you automatically go, woe is me? Did you automatically? If that's what you lean on, in your moments of isolation and pressure, when the giants come, that's what you're going to grab. Don't believe me? Look at Saul. You know what Saul had? He didn't have a staff. He had a spear. You know what that is? An angry spirit. And the moment someone did something, the guy said, ah! You say, what was that? That was a relief of pressure in that moment. You know, David grabbed a staff. You say, what do you do with a staff? You lean on it. What are you leaning on, Christian? What are you leaning on? At the end of Jacob's life, we read this in the book of Hebrews. You don't even read this in Genesis. The Bible says he gave the promises to his sons while he leaned on his staff. Whatever it is you're leaning on, and no one may even know about it, listen carefully. If your first thought, I need to just get rid of this pain and take something for it. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional. Okay? Don't leave church. My pastor's lost his mind. When you're in pain, don't take medicine. I didn't say that. Man, grab ibuprofen. I'm a baby. When it's like, oh, I think I'm dying. I must be running 110. It's like 98.9, you know. I'm not saying, I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. Whatever it is you reach for first, you know what that shows? That shows what you've been reaching for your whole life. Amen. Your habits over the years. God put David in a place where all he would have at his disposal was a shepherd's staff, that bag, and look for stones as a means to fight off the things that came his way. And when the giant came, guess what he did? What he had been doing for years. You don't wake up one day as a spiritual giant yourself and go, all right, I'm ready to do this. It doesn't work that way. It's years of grabbing the right stuff. Grabbing the right stuff. Grabbing the right people. Grabbing the right Savior. Getting a hold of the hem of his garment and saying, I'm not letting go till you help me. You say, what is that? I'm going to grab on to the right thing and I'm not letting go. Because when the trouble comes, that's what you're going to do. And if you've been grabbing the wrong people and the wrong advice and the wrong this and the wrong that, God had to prepare David to be comfortable with his identity. And you need to learn to become comfortable in yours, Christian. You say, what were these things that David did? All he just reflected his daily decisions. Does it matter if I read? Does it matter if I don't? Does it matter if I pray? Does it matter if I come? Does it matter if I skip out? Does it matter? To you and God it will. Yep. Oh, and by the way, I got one thought for you. Your giants aren't just yours. Yep. They affect the entire body. Amen. The whole army didn't have a victory until David did what he was supposed to do. Yep. Christian, can I just say this? You can argue, why didn't the other men do it? Fear of failure. Nobody wants to get out there and try something and it doesn't work. There's all kinds of reasons why you could say they didn't do it. Here's what I know. David did it, and the reason David was able to were the years of submitting to God's preparation for his life. And you know what happens at the end? I mean, they're going, this guy. Everyone's, you know what? If it was today, you know what would happen? I want to see how this turns out. So when David's head comes off, we'll all say, told you so. It'll get a million hits, I'm sure of it. Cameras would come out. Can I give you one last thought? Whether you realize it or not, people are watching how you face off with giants. Can I give you this? It wasn't just the Israelites that were watching. The other side was watching too. Amen. Some of you need to understand that by not doing anything, the giant's going to go away. It didn't go away.
Right.
It just stayed. Yeah. Giants are kind of like the stomach virus when you have three-year-olds in the house. Mm. It just keeps coming round and round. That's what giants do until you face off. You know why some of you aren't doing it? You've been leaning on the wrong thing for so long, and now you just don't want it. You're just like, I can't. You know what David was able to say? You come to me with a sword, I come to you in the name of the Lord. David had confidence, not in himself. You know why some of you don't like you and how God made you, and you're always trying to do something and be something that you're not and put on a different facade? You know why that is? Because you're really, the problem isn't you. The problem is you're not confident in the God that made you. Yeah. David faces off with this giant. Man, I love it. One shot. Sometimes in life, one shot's all you get. Oh, he had five stones. Yeah, he had. Goliath had four brothers. Yep. Prepare for a rainy day. And that rock comes and it smacks him right in his forehead. Man, the pressure and the velocity. I think the Spirit of God just said, took that rock, vroom, slammed in that guy's head. I don't think the end of the story was like, check it out, bro. I don't think the pythons came out and David was like, I don't think that's what happened. I think David's a little dude. Man, the sun had darkened David. He probably looked darker than anyone else because he'd been out there in the sun for so long. And for a young man, he probably had some wrinkles from the sun just being out there all the time, a little weathered, scarred from fights with lions and bears. And everyone out there thought, this guy's going to lose. But he won. But he won. Why? It wasn't that moment. It was the years behind it. Christian, you might have a giant right now, or you may be in between giant season. Okay? I don't know where you're at, but if you don't have one now, it's coming. You know what God wants you to be? Prepared. There's some people I can look out in the church right now and go, so-and-so used to sit right there, and so-and-so used to sit right there, and they'd be back there. You see, you know what they thought? I've got this. I've got this. You don't have it. You will never have it unless you submit to God's preparing you for what he has ahead. Let's all stand. Father, feeble attempt to try to extract some things here. God, I just pray that your people would respond as you convict, as you lead, they'd respond the right way. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be a Christian here that would just surrender, would just give up. I pray that every Christian here would much rather be a David than just someone that's watching. Help them. Or help them submit to the preparing process you have in their life, where it's different for everybody. Well, I know David had the confidence to be who he was because of you. Those lonely nights and those lonely days out in the sun by himself looking after the sheep, there was no cell phone, there was no internet. It was just him and you. And he walked with you. And he got to know you. And as he got to know you, he learned it was okay for him to be who you made him to be. He had confidence. I pray that every believer in here, Lord, as we endeavor to be a light in this world, would learn to take what you've given them, those five stones, and leave a mark on this world. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. I think about that coat of mail. You know what that is? It's fashioned by a man's hand. I think about those five smooth stones. Why are they smooth? Water and the elements have beaten them down over the years and smoothed out those edges. One is made by man. That coat of mail is made by man. Those stones were made by God. See, it's a picture of you relying on what you can do and what you can make versus what God's already made. He just wants to put it in your hand, and you trust him with the results. Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. Talk to some of these young people after summer camp. They'll be motivated. You know why some of them fall off? I'm not picking on them. It's a reality. You know why? Habits. Habits. They got the motivation. Some of you leave church. You ought to leave church motivated Sunday. You should. But what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about... You can't live at church. You can't live on the mountain. You have to go. You have to live your life. You know what that means? Your habits are going to have to change. You have to learn to grab things that maybe you haven't grabbed before and lean on things that you've not been leaning on. You know why some people grab a bottle? Because they did once, then they did twice, then they did three times, and after a while it became a habit. I've watched some Christians over the years start off on fire. Man, they can't get enough Bible. They're at church when the doors are open. Then they say, you know, Wednesday night's hard and it's long and get home late and maybe it's not that big of a deal. And before you know it, Wednesday night's gone. Then before you know it, you know, Sunday school is just an extra Bible study. I could do that some other time. I mean, really, is it that big of a deal? Then Sunday school's gone. And then Sunday morning, it's like, well, I need to wash the car. There's stuff I got to do. Don't they understand that? God, you get that, right? I mean, that's cool with you, isn't it? And just little by little, you're changing your habits. I wonder if every time David fought a lion or a bear, he'd say, God made me for a purpose, and he made you for a purpose. And today your purpose is to die. Right? How do you know that? Why do you believe that, Pastor? Because when he faced Goliath, you know what he said? You come with the sword, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Christian, let me ask you this question. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Prepare to meet thy God. Oh, preacher, that's going to be a long time from now. I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe he blows the trumpet today. That ought to excite you a little bit. It also, if we're being honest, ought to make you a little fearful. It ought to make you, am I ready? You know what Monday morning is? I've heard people say this, I wish we could just stay at church. You can't. It's not reality. You can't live your Christian life in a bubble. This is intended to be a bubble. It is, 100%, 1,000%. You live in a bubble on Sundays. Absolutely, yes. Because the rest of the week is full of garbage from the world. I want a bubble on Sunday, yes. But I can't live in this. I have to go out. The only way I can do it the right way is to allow God to prepare me. Some of you have plans for lunch. Good. You know what you have to do? Prepare. Some of you going to work tomorrow. You're not going to just go, oh, today's work. Oh, my goodness. Some of you going to put clothes out. Some of you might put gym bag out. Some of you might do all this kind of stuff. Meal plan the week ahead. Whatever you might do. So what? Preparing. What preparation will you allow in your life for the Lord this week? Or will it all just be for the flesh? Appointments, work, gym, doctor, chiro, this thing, that sporting event. Nothing wrong. Those aren't bad. But man, if that's the only preparing you do in life, you're missing out. Amen. Amen. Hope you got some from the Word today. I believe this. There's so much more God can do with us if we would let the little moments count. Yeah. The Bible says, despise not the day of small things. When you go, no one knows. It's just me. That's when it matters. That's when it matters. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you, Lord willing, Wednesday, if you can be here, 7 o'clock for Bible study. We wrapped up our series on finances. I have a couple closing comments, but probably what we're going to do Wednesday night more than likely is a question and answers night, so be here for that. And then we're going to be starting a new series after that on the subject of authority and what the Bible says about that and how to respond to it and all that. So we'll do that here in the coming weeks. Let's close in a word of prayer. Kids, don't forget, DBC, you are to be messy, all right? All right, every boy's like, praise God, been waiting for this theme. All right.